just a beautiful leeway, opening our hearts. I don't know about you, but in our lives, it's not always glorious and joyful, like singing together with you, like that lifts my spirit. But, you know, as we go from this community into our lives, I wish I could take that with me. But I do, don't I? I take the Spirit of God with me wherever I go. Paul, writing his letter to Timothy, he had that spirit, didn't he? It's just amazing as you read that letter to Timothy, how he's pouring out the joy that he has in Jesus Christ. And here's a guy sitting imprisoned, chained. All his friends have deserted him because, man, it got going pretty tough for Paul. His body's been inflicted by the silversmith back in Ephesus, I think it was. He got beat up, I think, by the silversmith, and he's still carrying the burden of that bodily injury right to his final days. He's facing execution. And we know Paul died at the hands of the emperor. This is all before him. Imagine yourself sitting in that place. Do you think you could sing a song like that? On one hand, no, I'd be so broken. And on the other, I pray that the Spirit, this ember within me, the ember within all of you, would ignite into a deep fire of your praise and passion for Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life. And that's the picture I got from reading the text in 2 Timothy in the first chapter. On our farm, I grew up on a farm, and we had a wood stove. And that wood stove was the life of the house, really. It heated up our water. It provided the heating for cooking. And it required you to tend that fire to make sure the fire was stoked up. And man, it could really get going. You could actually shoot flames out of the top of the chimney if you really stoked it up. That was cool. Dad used to tell me off when that happened, though. It was good fun. Any pyros out there? Yeah. Fire, it's lovely. One thing I was amazed about this fireplace, though, was that overnight we'd shut it down. We'd cut off the oxygen to it, we'd close up everything, and we'd just let it die down. And in the morning, it was someone's job to stoke that fire. Because the fire wouldn't die overnight, it would just go back to ashes and a few bits of coal sitting down the bottom of it, and you get the poker and you poke the ashes and they'd fall through the grate and you're left with a couple of embers there, these coals. You put your kindling on it and you give it a puff. And it's amazing. The heat would come back to life with a bit of oxygen and the kindling would light up and you'd lump the bigger bits of wood on it and you'd open it up the fireplace and off it would go again, rip roaring, enough heat to cook your porridge and warm all the cold kids on those frosty Wimmera mornings where I grew up. And I love this picture for the Christian life, this picture of a fire burning within us. I love how God made the Holy Spirit look like tongues of fire on those disciples on that first Pentecost, that picture of fire, the Spirit burning within us. And I love that Paul, in the depth of his suffering and trial, writing to Timothy, he uses this imagery of fanning into flame, this picture that Timothy is also going through a hard time in Ephesus as a young pastor, with an experienced congregation, a worldly congregation that has come to know the Lord. As he's trying to pastor them, he's going through hard times with them. That never happens in a church, does it? And so Paul, in his suffering, can fan into flame the Spirit of God within him to write a beautiful letter to Timothy. But that gift that he has, he's saying, you too, Timothy, you have also received that gift of the Holy Spirit. You received it through your grandmother and your mother, and through the laying on of my hands, you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, fanned into flames. Because isn't it too true in this life we can come from a beautiful place of strength and worshiping the Lord and feeling on top of a mountain with Him, and then we go out into the world and we face the hardship of real life. I know for some of you right now, you're suffering. Your bodies are letting you down. The suffering that just comes from old age and misusing our bodies in our youth, or giving our lives to being a builder and slaving away, or whatever we've given our bodies to. We can suffer at the hands of others too, can't we? From injustice, from their harsh words. And we can suffer because of our faith. I talked to the children a little bit about persecution for our faith. Paul has all these suffering going on in his life. His body's broken. He's suffering because everyone's slandering his name around him. He's suffering because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Man, that's a whole lot of weight. That's not a real joyous occasion. And yet, look at this letter. Look how he can praise Jesus Christ and what he's implanted into his life. That coal of faith that's in his life that he can fan into flame even in the darkest of situations. And so he gives that gift to Timothy. He says, here it is, brother, fan it into flame. Do that for yourself, but pass that gift on to your congregation. And look here. The embers of Jesus Christ continues to burn to this day. You know that picture of keeping the ember alive? I think it's the Aboriginals. I'm sorry if I get this wrong a little bit, but you know, they used to carry around their fire with them. And there was the keeper of the flame as such, the important job of keeping the fire alive as they moved around from place to place. We are a continual flame of Jesus Christ's hope in this world. It has been passed down from generation to generation, from one generation to the next through not easy times, I would say, but through a lot of persecution and hardship. We sang that in the Songs of Elijah. It spoke about that, didn't it? Through the suffering of every generation comes the sure hope that we have in God. So fanning into flames, what kind of things dampen the spirit in your life? It's all personal for us. Maybe it's family members that don't believe, that tell you you're a bit crazy. Why do you waste your time going off to church? Why do you keep banging on about this Jesus bloke? Why would you want to sing a song about God? Maybe it comes through financial burden. We give a tithe and an offering. It makes no sense to the world that you'd give a portion of your hard-earned money to an institution that doesn't seem to do much. What about persecution from your workmates or your neighbours? What about persecution from your noisy children? Just be a bit quieter, Vinny and Fia. Shh, shh, shh. What about persecution as you try and share Jesus Christ in this world? It's interesting what we build our faith on, though. I think this is another thing that Paul is trying to draw out from Timothy. There's so many different denominations now. We all proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but it's interesting how we've all got our little bent, don't we? We have our little way of seeing Jesus, and that's great. I think it's a beautiful tapestry of what God's doing in the world. Yet I think, especially when persecution and suffering and fear and hardship come our way, it really shakes us back to the core of what our faith is about. And this is why I can say I'm happy to be a Lutheran. You know, some denominations make a big deal of prosperity, and hopefully it's not many, but they do make a big deal of, you know, if you're right with God, then God will bless you and your life will be prosperous. And man, if that's the core of your faith, that knowing Jesus equals getting ahead in life, what about when things go wrong? When your business goes bankrupt? Then out the door goes your faith as well in Jesus Christ, because they were linked together. If your faith in Jesus is about, I had a few examples. What else do we pin to Jesus? I'm trying to think. Well, how about music? Ooh, that's a touchy one, don't go there. What happens if the music isn't quite to your liking? It's tough, isn't it? If Jesus and our music go hand in hand, then when the music's not right, then our faith also suffers. There's a million things we could value add to Jesus, isn't there? And I think we all do it in one way or another. And yet Paul, sitting in prison, I think shakes Timothy and even himself. Maybe he's just reminding himself of the great gift that he's given. I'm trying to find where I wrote it down. At the start of the second chapter of 2 Timothy, he simply puts it one line. Paul writes it like this. He tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Could mean nothing. He's saying, fan into flame the gift that God's placed on you. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not saying, break into song. You're doing a great job. Start singing praises to the Lord. He simply says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Our faith in Christ Jesus is all about grace. Paul says it beautifully in his letter to that church in Ephesus. He says it this way. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Sorry, this is from Timothy. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Sorry, that was in 2 Timothy there. We heard it today. Grace is nothing about what we do or how we feel about God. It's all about what God's done for us in Jesus Christ. As he says in the letter to Ephesians, he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Our faith in Jesus Christ, this coal of faith, this gift that we can fan into flames, it's nothing about us or the way that we worship or our prosperity or how well it's going in life or anything else that we'd like to attach to Jesus. It's the heart of our faith is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and gave his life so that everyone can have salvation in his name. This is a gift that every one of us have. That's what makes us Christian. We all get it wrong in one way or another. We can poke fun at our Catholic brothers and sisters, but it's the same grace that will save them. I can poke fun at my Pentecostal friends, and I can also poke fun at my Lutheran brothers and sisters because they love their grace a little bit too much sometimes, and they get lost in that. But what a wonderful place to be lost. Let's fan it into flame. Because Paul also says this gift of grace should make us active, should stir us up, should give voice to the hope that we have inside of us. This gift of grace then empowers us to a Christian life where we can face up to suffering and hardship and trials and persecution. You know, Jesus never told any of his disciples, follow me, it's going to be an easy ride, you know. I've got you covered. Man, so many times he told his disciples that if you follow after me, you're going to suffer in my name. Luke 21 has one of the most disturbing promises of Jesus, he says in Luke 21, verses 16 to 17, you'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. Isn't that scary? Jesus said in John 15, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. Jesus said in Luke 9 and in a couple other parts in the gospel, if anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus never pictured our Christian walk to be easy. He said there will be trials and suffering and hardship. Yet like Paul, there's hope within that, isn't there? There's a hope that goes beyond the smothering effect of suffering and trials and hardship. We shouldn't give up in our walk with Jesus when these things come our way. Paul can glorify God when these things come his way, because he can actually thank God that it's Christ is alive in him, that he's suffering for Christ's name. Julia faced a bit of that suffering in her school setting, and I think I've shared this before, that one of her friends told her that her parents would never let her come over to our place because we're Christians. And on one side, that's really shocking, but I also praise Jesus, that Jesus is alive in my daughter, that her friend knows she's a Christian, and that even has radiated out to her parents. This is an incredible thing. Yes, it's scary that the world hates us because Jesus Christ is alive in our lives. And, you know, even my 7-year-old daughter faces that persecution. And yet, what a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ is aflame in her life. And I pray that for you too, that in face of your persecution, you can actually praise Jesus Christ, that he is working in and through you. You are bearing the flame of Jesus Christ. You are a gospel legacy to this world that needs it. We live with a hope. In that Luke 21, Jesus went on to say, he just didn't leave it with persecution. He said, but not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you'll win life. Persecution, suffering, trials, temptations, they all seem to take from our life. But Jesus says, that's not the case. You're going to win salvation. Paul says it in a couple of beautiful ways there in those first two chapters of Timothy. Talks about running the race, doesn't he? Winning the victor's crown. Fighting as a soldier, not getting embroiled in the civilian things. He's picturing the Christian life where, yes, there's things of this world that will continue to shake us up, to make us question whether God really loves us. Is he for us? Is he with us? And yet, when we get back to the core of our faith, that Jesus Christ died for us, that he did this for us even before we were born. He did this before we even committed one sin in our lives. He died for us. It's this gift of grace that we can fan into flames each and every day. We can praise his name that it's not about me. It's not about the situation I'm in. But it's all about Jesus Christ and his love for me and for the world. And I get to share that, even in the face of suffering. Each of you can persevere. You can stand strong in the Lord because he will never abandon you. He can't be unfaithful, can he? Paul testified to that in his letter. We just need to cling to him in our lives. One of the gifts of persecution is that it drives us back to Jesus, doesn't it? When we suffer, it drives us back to Jesus. when we are facing death, drives us back to the sure hope that we have in Jesus. Nothing else matters. God will continue to use suffering and trials not to break us, but to shape us and mold us in the image of His Son who gave up His life for us. And as we persevere in suffering and trials, and as we speak like Paul, the sure hope that we have in a glorious way, people will notice. People will notice that we're burning with a love and a hope that comes from beyond ourselves, beyond the sure rationality of what the world would say in the face of cancer, or our lungs giving up, or our bodies aging. When we can say, yeah, I'm suffering, but I'm an eternal Son of God. I'm an eternal daughter of God. I have a hope that goes beyond the trials and temptations of this life. And people will notice, people will stand up, people will want to know the reason for the hope that is in you, and you get to share that. What a glorious joy that will be. Paul was facing the worst situation of his life. He was soon to die, and yet he passed on the sure hope that he had to Timothy. Timothy, in his timidity, stood firm and encouraged his congregation. And from then on, that has been the spirit of the church. And it is here, alive and well today, living in you. Fan it into flames. Get that fire rip roaring. Shoot the flame out the top of the roof, out of your chimney. Let the world see that you live for Jesus Christ and not for yourself. And that we have a hope that goes beyond what we can ever experience in this world. And so, where's my little poem gone? Like C.T. Stodd said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Whatever might come against you in this life, stay strong in Christ and be bold and courageous in your witness of the sure hope that you have in Jesus Christ. For nothing else is worth living for, and nothing else will see you into eternity. And so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.